Plannishing hammer, Pritchell, belt sander, punching plate, angle grinder, buffing wheel, drop forge, leg vise, anvil and furnace. I don't know how the heck I got through that lot. Anyway, they're all words associated with blacksmith. It's a language that describes the bending, twisting, shaping and fusing of metal into useful objects, and traditionally these were associated with farms, gates, farm implements and, of course, obviously, shoes for horses. The village blacksmith is embedded in our psyche in this country. In the past, there would have been thousands of them around the country, and today there are about 150 blacksmiths working around Ireland, and this number apparently is growing. Anna McSweeney has met a few of them, and she's here with me now. Ella, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miles.
I am old enough to remember in the small town of Kingscourt in County Cavan, where I spent the first 5 years of my life, at the end of the road, there was a blacksmith's forge, and you could actually go in and you could watch him at work. So I, for one, carry that particular memory.
But an amazing sight.
Yeah, it was an amazing sight.
And
is etched on my consciousness and sound. But I thought they were all gone. I assumed they were all gone, or I assumed that the nature of the business had completely changed, as everything else has.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, when we think of, well, certainly when I think of blacksmiths, I think of men and horses. And that wouldn't be wrong if I was living in the 50s, 60s and 70s in Ireland, because that's what they did. They shod horses. They're very, very central to agriculture in general. But now blacksmithing has really changed. So farriers do horses now. They specialise in dealing with shoeing horses. And blacksmiths today are, in many ways, they're artists. They're people who create pieces of art, be they chairs, implements, gates and all the rest. And they work with metal to create these incredible bits and pieces. But it was interesting for me in the past few days going around Ireland talking to blacksmiths, because it is a traditional skill that's being rejuvenated. There's absolutely no doubt.
Okay, and there's a school, or there was a school for blacksmiths in County Mayo. Does it still exist?
There was a school, and sadly enough, it was in Belmullet, and it was a place where blacksmiths could learn and train. And sadly, it closed after 3 years in 2002, which was bad timing because it was coming into the sort of economic boom of Ireland, the very time when people like that got a lot of work, certainly with gates around the country, making gates. But it closed, and now there's nowhere in Ireland you can learn to be a blacksmith. There's four schools in England. Hereford would be the big school. So Irish blacksmiths are now going to England to learn the trade and hopefully come back here and work as a blacksmith.
And if I was to walk into a blacksmith's forge now, would it be very, very different to the one I knew, nearly 50 years ago now?
This is the most remarkable thing, because if you think about woodworking, for example, you know, implements, gadgets, big gadgets, electronic gadgets have really taken over the business. Whereas with blacksmithing, it is amazing. I walked into forges from people who were 80 plus years of age, and they were the same as the forges that I went into that were commercially, very commercially viable today. The traditions of blacksmithing are the ones that that work and that last. The tools that they use are the same as the tools that were used 150 years ago, and the techniques are also the same.
Okay, you've talked to four blacksmiths in various different stages of development,
yeah,
as it were. We're going to start with somebody who it goes right back to the past, who's 86 years of age.
A remarkable man, Eamon Madden from Athenryan, Galway, 86-year-old blacksmith. He only retired last year. Up until last year, every day he was cycling down to his forge, which is just on the outskirts of Athenryan. Anyone who lives there will know Eamon and know his little his forge. He's a fifth-generation blacksmith, and he is a blacksmith in the traditional sense of the word, deeply embedded in the farming community there. He used to make a lot of farm implements, but also, you know, his core work was shoeing horses. He took me to his forge, and it reminded me of the Heaney, Seamus Heaney poem, The Forge, A Door into the Dark, because that's exactly what it was.
Horse shoeing was the big thing. Every creature around, they had a bit of land and they'd have the horse. It was a way of life for generations, that way. Now, you could talk to the poor horse. You get a temperamental animal, you know, that would be nervous and you'd want to watch yourself or they would kick you.
And were you ever kicked by a horse?
I wasn't, mind you, not as good as I wasn't. The horse would come in and stand there for you. Somebody'd hold him by the head, hold him by the bridle, and you'd do your job, put on the shoes, and the animal wouldn't be frightened about where she was standing, you know. She knew what to expect, I suppose.
And why is the centre of the room made of wood when the outskirts are made of stone?
Well, that was an idea to keep the horse from nosing. And the firm concrete, there'd be echoing on them. But if they were standing on the wood, the echo wouldn't be as loud to them, you know. you know, that they wouldn't be arousing them or disturbing them.
So by standing on the wood, the horse wouldn't make noise, and that wouldn't frighten her then?
And the noise would, you know, irritate them.
Eamon, what were the horses used for? Were they mainly for ploughing work?
Ploughing work, for coming to the town, bringing them, that husband and his wife and the children into town, into mass. To visit to the relations, maybe 2 mile up the road or 3 mile back the road. This is just an old-fashioned shoe that you can hear the noise of the anvil.
It's a nice noise, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What other work did you do apart from shoeing horses here?
Repairing farm implements. Ploughs and the grubbers at the time, the harrows were beautiful to cultivate. The grills that they keep the cattle in, they would be made by somebody that would be doing iron work. Yeah.
And Eamon, I can't help noticing that you're very strong. You've got big shoulders, big hands, and you're very strong looking.
Thank you.
Do you miss the exercise?
I do, yeah. I do. You'd be sorry, you'd leave you with memories, you know. Leave you with lovely memories. But that's life.
That's Eamon Madden from Athenry in County Galway, 86 years of age, 5 generations of blacksmith, presumably going back to the late 18th, early 19th centuries in terms of the family. And physically, you were talking about Seamus Heaney and his poem The Forge, but physically he's more like the blacksmith from Goldsmith Deserves a Village. He's a huge man, brawny arms.
The minute I saw him, I guess what he did. I mean, huge shoulders, massive hands, very fit-looking man and very strong. The way he struck the anvil, bang on in centre, beautiful sound out of it.
The smith, a mighty man, was he with large and sinewy hands. Okay, Jack Hick from Dalkey in County Dublin.
Yeah, Jack is from the Hick dynasty, the butchers, and it was just interesting to talk to him. He was a blacksmith, and he had a forge in Dalkey at the back of Super Value. People who know Dalkey, it's now a car park. He took me to the place where his forge was to remind me of the work that he got from the fishermen who used to dock in Dunleary Harbour.
Some work came up from Dunleary for repairing what called trawl gallows on a fishing boat, which were bolted to the deck and leaned out overboard. And at the end of the gallows, as they called it, was a swinging block for hauling the trawl. And it was just replacing any worn parts on those. And in some cases, one case in particular, a fellow brought a pair of them from another trawler that didn't fit his, and I had to make them fit it. So I repaired and altered quite a few of those.
I suppose it's hard to imagine now, standing in the middle of Dalkey, which is the very definition of suburbia, but it's hard to imagine how many animals there were around and how rural in many ways this area was in the 50s and 60s.
There were 3 active dairy yards in it. Thomas's, Mull Hall's, Miss Purcell's. They all had cows. They all had sheepdogs or cattle dogs. And most of them had a horse. Castle Park School had a grazing herd of 12 sheep down there for keeping the cricket pitch in shape, because apparently they kept it clipped better than a cutter.
That's Jack Hick from Dalkey in County Dublin. OK, let's move from the past to the present, or indeed even the future and the commercial.
The commercial viability of it. I mean, there's very successful blacksmiths in business in Ireland. I mean, if I went out and bought a metal object in the shop, a candle holder, a gate, something, a curtain rail, the chances are, if it's cheap, that it was made as pieces in Pakistan or China, brought into Ireland in pieces and then welded by Irish blacksmiths. But there are people who do it from scratch, and one of them is Edward Bisgood, who is a big name in blacksmithing in Ireland, and he runs a very large outfit called Bushy Park's Ironworks. They have 15 full-time employees. His workshop is similar to Eamon's, and that's the most remarkable thing, as I said, about blacksmithing. And he told me about the next generation of blacksmiths in Ireland.
You can't be taught in a school here, which is a shame, something we're working on with IABA, which is the Irish Artists Blacksmith Association. So we take on apprentices here, we train them here. A lot of them will do FOSS courses or an apprenticeship with in Bolton Street. They'll learn there the welding, the fabrication side of the business, which is very important. But the actual blacksmithing side, we have to teach here.
Do you get people coming off the street, young people, wanting to become blacksmiths?
We've had guys who've come here wanting to be welders and fabricators, not knowing that they could be a blacksmith, and actually moved in and actually learned and become very, very good blacksmiths. And then we've had European smiths who have heard about us and want to come and work with us for 3 months or 6 months as journeymen or women to see how the bigger operations work. We can work with bigger lumps of steel, we can work with, and we can take on more projects and bigger stairs and turn, let's say, a very organic stairs around in 3 or 4 months, where a guy working by himself is going to take a year and a half.
What kind of stresses and strains are there on a blacksmith's body?
Back is always a bad one. You've got to be very careful how you lift. Tennis elbow is another one. Ears, hearing can become a problem after a number of years.
Is it handed as well? I mean, I'm left-handed and I get repetitive strain in my hand just from doing things because I'm so heavily dependent on using my left hand. Do you become like Popeye? Do you have one huge bulky arm and the other one slightly weedy?
I used to. My back's so bad now that I don't get a chance to do much hands-on. But yeah, obviously people will be, if they're right-handed, that's going to be a bigger arm. But Popeye, no. All those tools, they're all the hammers, all the tools that you would see in any forge around.
Absolutely. Where did you get these from?
We mostly make them ourselves. These are just, that is a pin hammer. And as you work on that anvil, it's going to change. So actually, depending where you hit the piece of steel you're working on, and you'll get a completely different sound the whole way along it. And again, on different size anvils, you will actually get different sounds. And I've watched an Austrian blacksmith with 4 anvils and he played songs on it.
No, he
did.
So there is a sort of song that the anvil plays.
Yeah, and it very much, again, it depends on what you're trying to achieve, what's the raw materials you're using, even that the temperature of the piece of steel, let's say you're working, the hotter it is, the less sound it makes. The colder it gets, the louder it gets. So again, there's so many different ways of working the materials, and you'll get different sounds the whole time.
Nice musical blacksmith. That's Edward Bisgood. He's in Tala. That is or was a big business in terms of employees, wasn't it?
Very big, very big. 30 full-time employees up until 2 years ago, now 15, but business is good. He just showed me the gate that he's done for Blackrock College in Dublin, and he gets big commissions.
What was his most unusual commission?
I asked him this, and he said a chastity belt made of brass, and the first fitting was free.
He didn't specify for whom or who the client was or anything like that. Maybe we better not go
presenter
into that.
Presenter in RTE.
Yeah, right. Finally, you've got a female blacksmith.
Yeah, Jane Murta, who lives in Cratlow Woodhouse in County Clare. And again, she's a new generation of metalsmith. She's an artistic metal worker and she exhibits in galleries. And she talked me through some of the ways in which she works with metal, some of the techniques.
These are my Rapuse tools. They're all little different lengths of steel that I would have made when I was a student. Now, that would be like blacksmithing because it would have been the same technique because these would have been heated up to a red heat, and as they were hot, I would have forged them. I would have hammered them to spread the metal out, and then I would have filed over the top, forged and filed the top to get that lovely round shape. And then I would have tempered it. I would have brought it up to a lovely straw colour, popped it into some oil. So it's good and hard now. And that's actually nearly 30 years old and it hasn't changed. It still held its shape.
Where did you get the steel from?
Well, it was in the art school. Again, I was lucky that the chap teaching in there knew all about how to do this. And so he must have had all these little bits of bars of steel around the place because he certainly had the right stuff for me anyway.
Tell me a little bit about your inspiration for becoming a metal worker and doing what you do at the moment.
When I was about 12, my father had a shop in Dublin for about 10 years and he specialised in selling Georgian silver. He'd send me to the workshops around Dublin to collect repairs. It was only when I was a student in art college going into the metalwork room that I realised how much I loved the look of the tools and also the smell of metal. And I loved just watching those people at that time working. So I was very, very lucky to get exposed to some of those great craftspeople around Dublin. There was Allwright and Marshall and there was Dublin Silver and there was old engravers in really pokey rooms off Georgia Street with one light bulb. grumpy. They all seem to be quite grumpy as well. Looking back on it, they never chatted much to me, you know. And if you were collecting something that was for a repair, it would be wrapped up in an old piece of newspaper and sort of
thrown at you.
But I loved it. I just loved just seeing these places, I think, as a sort of very young one. This is an image of St. Joseph.
And this is a sheet of copper. It's 3 foot by 2 foot?
Yes, it's 1 mil thick. And I would have drawn the image first, heated the metal up with my torch over there, beaten out the shape with a wooden mallet first, and then I sit it in this box of tar, and I'm shaping it now from the front with these punches, which are called repoussé tools.
Okay, I'm working on the